This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's May 14th, episode 913. Good morning, Horse World.
Morning. Today is Wednesday.
Hey, everyone. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day, baby. Here's to another week. Halfway done. Downhill stretch has finally begun.
Daddy, I want another pony.
What do they call Wednesday hump day anyhow? Innocuous jibber jabber.
Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate that. And how's it going, Glenn?
It's going good. Everything's fine here in Ocala, Florida. And I didn't have a chance to get out and play with ponies the last couple of days. I'm hoping to do that today if I have time.
Well, good. I still have my mama borrowed from the great state of Florida. She's still here, and she was supposed to leave tomorrow. And I'm like, I pulled one of those, Mommy.
Did you cry?
Mommy, can you please stay longer? So she'll be here through at least Sunday. So I guess she called her husband, and she's like, she wants me to stay. Her husband's like, what? I'm supposed to tell you to come home when your daughter is on a farm alone with a baby while her husband is deployed? Like, I'm going to be that guy? So I win.
Yes, well, you know, and it is hard. I mean, I can't imagine how hard it must be. I know what it was like when we had, you know, you hit that magic number. Don't you have over 7 horses now?
Yes, it changed everything.
It does. 7 horses. Once you're over that, it sucks.
Yeah. It's you know, it's not even the horses. The horses is like the easy fun part. It's the dang baby and the horses and the poo and the cleaning
and
the salt
right,
and
exactly.
The blah, blah, blah. You know what I did also yesterday, Glenn, is I set a trap because we've been battling them pretty consistently for years, but the gophers. We've been battling gophers forever, as you guys know. We've talked way too much about gophers on the show, so I'll keep it quick. But I set a gopher trap yesterday. I found one out by the arena in Fresh Hole. I set the gopher trap, walk away, and I realized, what happens if I catch one? See, I'm not taking it out of the trap. I'm about to call a neighbor. My husband's not here. What am I going to do? Like, there may be a gopher in the trap right now. I don't know. I'm not going to find out.
Now, aren't there buried traps, like you put them down in the hole?
Yes, but then if I wait the weeks for him to come home, he's going to have a really gross gopher to take out of
the
trap.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of – no, you'd have to leave the trap. You'd have to just bury the whole thing and leave it.
Yeah, just cash it in, waste the $10 and just say, call it even.
That's right. Figure it's worth it.
I'm screwed. That's the only thing. I don't know what I'm going
to
do about that. But
you get the gopher out of the trap.
You know what? She'll be like, book my flight right now. I'm out. Well, we do have a great show. Jennifer, what's coming up today?
On today's Crappy List Wednesday edition, following a snarky scan of hump day headlines and the equestrian milestones of the day, we head across the pond for the European Report with the velvet voice of Victoria Spicer. And in the third half of the show, the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge hits the last button. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Jamie, did you get a chance to watch the video that I posted on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning yet of the Budweiser horses doing a demonstration in an arena? Did you get a chance to watch that?
Okay, so you told me to go to the minute 4. So yeah. I'm looking at 4 minutes. Now, what I see right now is an eight in hand team. Oh, my God. Oh, I can't watch that. Why would you post that?
Well, keep watching, though, because that's the amazing part is what happens after. So what Jamie just watched is they're doing their demonstration like they always do, and there's eight in hand, the Budweiser hitch hooked to the wagon, the whole thing, and the dog up on top, and the driver's in the green. And they come around a corner a little too tight, and what happens is the front horses, the first pair, go down, and the other horses pile on top, and there's this major wreck with the horses everywhere. So six of the horses are involved in this wreck. It broke the shafts. It broke the, you know, they're all piled up, basically. But what's amazing, if you keep watching that, Jamie, and this is what I gave my daily whinny to, is to the Budweiser crew. They handled that so well. And there were a lot of comments on that video. It's been posted all over the Internet now. There's a lot of comments everywhere how professional the crew was. And you can't train for what happened there. I mean, there were horses on top of horses and harnesses, and they went in very calmly, very quietly. By the way, kudos to the people who trained those Budweiser horses and how quiet they were during all of this, just stood there, basically, or laid there or hunched there. They just didn't move until they were released from these harnesses. Now, they use harness that have what's called quick releases on them, and they all carry knives, too, to cut harnesses. That's one of the things you're supposed to do. So I didn't see him cutting any harnesses, but I saw him getting to the quick releases, and that allows the shafts and the parts that connect to the carriage to come off quickly. And I have them on my harness too, so if my pony ever flipped over or went over, I could release him from the cart very quickly and easily by just pulling a couple of tugs. You'll see there how they get them out. They did a couple very smart things there. One was as they got the pairs disconnected and moved their way back to the pileup, and it looked like a football pileup, a bunch of football players that jump on top of each other. They kept the horses there, and what they did is they just walked them off a couple feet but kept them there so the other horses wouldn't freak out if they had taken them out right away. The other horses would have started to freak out, too. But isn't it amazing how quiet those horses are during all this ordeal?
Oh, my gosh. They're all just standing there like little angels. But this is – oh, my gosh, this is tough to watch. And it's got to be frustrating for the Budweiser guys that are standing there going, oh, God, we're so fired. Oh, we are so fired.
And then you don't hear this because you don't have your sound on right now. The announcers were trying to talk through the whole thing, and there were a couple comments on there about having could have done without the announcers, and I agree with that because they were it was just ridiculous. But, yeah, that was amazing, amazing. They just handled it so calmly. They went in there, and they got the job done. And I was watching them. If you watch it a second time then, and if you just watch the crew, everything they did was textbook. You know, when they went around to the back of the horses, they went way around. When they came up on the ones that were in the pile, they were touching their butts to their sides. You know, they just did everything textbook. It was just amazing. They were all okay, by the way. Broke a lot of the parts for the they didn't do a show that next day, I guarantee you, because there were a lot of parts broken.
Horses were hurt in this? Because there's still one laying down 3 minutes later, and it's still laying down.
And they get him up, and he's fine. The other, one of the big advantages, though, to these horses is they're big-boned and they're big horses. So, if this had happened to a pile of thoroughbreds, every one of them would have been, life-threatening injury. But they are tough, big-boned horses, and that last one gets up just fine. You have to watch the video. If you haven't yet, go over to Horses in the Morning and scroll down.
As we're watching this, you can see the people in the crowd snapping photos. I'm like, I would be like, please stop taking my picture. This is awful. Flashes are going off everywhere. It's like, no, don't take pictures. Wow, this is really brutal. But, man, what good boys. They all just, totally froze. As soon as there was, a panic moment, all the horses just froze.
By the way, that would have not happened with a team of Hackneys or Thoroughbreds or Arabians.
No, that's really crazy. I'm glad everybody's okay. But, yeah, it's like a jackknife tractor trailer. It's just, a mess.
Luckily, they stopped this pileup before the last two weren't involved and the ones that were closest to the wagon. And the wagon didn't go over, because then that's really bad when that happens.
Do you know who really shined in this video as I continue to watch it, who really was the most helpful, was the dog. I mean, worthless. He didn't even get down.
No, he just stayed up there and watched. Yep. I have never seen that before. I've never seen a team. And we've watched a lot of the draft horse hitches, sixes and fours and eights do their thing, and I've never seen one happen. I've never seen this happen to any one of them.
Yeah, you're right. Every one of them is walking off sound, so no broken legs or anything. Ooh, I can't watch stuff like that, though. Ugh.
A little mentally challenged, I think, getting in the next time to the harness, don't you think? Next time's going to have to be very successful. It's going to have to be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wow. All right,
anyway,
my turn.
All right.
Okay. Well, my Daily Winnie goes out. If you look at another Facebook page, it's the Mash Horses Facebook page, and it is Facebook.com/AdoptHorses, or just type in Mash Horses into the search. Yesterday was one of the coolest things. I decided to play with the mare, who we have named, by the way, is my foster, okay, the one I'm fostering. She's
you
not
named
mine.
It my foster?
She's now got a name. Her name, actually, because I did all the breed research and race records and all this stuff, and she's actually a great-granddaughter of Secretariat. And so I found out her – God, she has the worst registered name ever. Her registered name is Guzzle and Go. And it's not even and go. It's in go.
Was she owned by a frat house or what? I mean,
you
the fraternity
think,
owner?
My God, the worst name ever. So back in the distance of her pedigree, great-granddaddy is Secretariat. So I actually named her Penny. So we call her Penny after Penny Chenery, who's like my idol. So honorably, we named her Penny. She's this beautiful little chestnut mare. She's a foster, Glenn. She's not mine.
Yeah, okay.
So, yesterday, the arresting officer, Deputy Tromby, came over, and it was just one of those days where, like, everything came together. My student came over to ride Jet. My other student, who leases Joey, came over to ride Joey. My neighbor who adopted the pony Tater Tot, who we have been starting her together, came over with her pony, and I had Penny. So the four of us head out to the arena, and we realize that all four of these horses came from MASH. All four of them. I have, like, my own little MASH army on my farm. And so all four horses being ridden, and so Deputy Tromby took a picture and posted it on the MASH page. Jet's just still in the background in a stall. But it was so fun. And then she took a picture of Joy, the dog, who also came from MASH. I've realized that I probably, you know, to be more competitive and not have all these issues, I probably should buy something really nice. But I don't. I have all these rescues. And we had so much fun. And it was so neat to represent horse adoption the way that we did, and to have all these MASH horses going on to have such a successful life. It was really cool. And thanks to my mom, who watched the baby while I got to go play horse. I was like a little teenage girl out there. So I got her all tacked up in the stall just to see what she would do. She didn't care. I took her out to the arena, lunged her a little bit. She gets pretty nervous, and I did get on her back. She was way too nervous for me to ride any longer than to take a picture. So, but she didn't buck me off. And as you guys know, that is a huge thing in my world, is not getting bucked off. So big ups to everybody who was there. And Daily Winnie goes to everybody who was there and played with these horses and adopted these horses. And it's just so much fun.
I see you. I just see the picture of you on Penny. Penny's got the neck that Scooter had when we got Scooter,
yeah.
When we rescued Scooter. She's got that neck and butt. She doesn't have one, in other words.
None. She has none. Yeah. I realized I sent the picture to Chad, and I'm like, I got on her. And he's like, oh, my God, she's tiny. Like, skinny. Like, she's so narrow.
Yeah.
She's
she
got a little pencil
like
neck.
scraggly thing that Scooter was. Yeah.
Exactly.
Great ears.
I do.
With
what?
Great ears. She's got great
ears. Yeah, she has good ears.
She's got this beautiful little crooked blaze that goes off the side of her nose. And if you guys notice, I did not pull her mane. I know we had some comments because she's this really long, beautiful mane. And some listeners were like, oh, you're going to pull that in 5 seconds because she's a thoroughbred and I'm an inventor. I didn't pull it. I love it. I braided it. But she's a foster.
That's right. She's only a foster. Only a foster. And you said there were some inquiries on her, so she might be just a foster.
You know, there were a lot of inquiries on her last time I posted the page. And so far, Marie, Deputy Trombi, has gone in there and posted repeatedly that she's been adopted. Sorry. And I'm like, no, she's been fostered.
She does look good. It's amazing, you know, what they look like when I look back now at a picture of Scooter, who we had to buy a muzzle for this spring.
Wow.
You know, we're a year down the line and we have a muzzle on him because he's so fat now. But, you know, it's fun to think about what she's going to look like in 6 months. Yeah. When she puts that, when she gets her weight back on and her neck doesn't look like it's a pencil.
I know. Bless her little heart. I found out, too, that
her head looks so over proportioned in this picture.
Yeah.
Her head looks
I know. This is like the only moment I could get her to stand still for a picture is the one that Jennifer posted on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. But she is, she's, like I said, she's just very inquisitive and she's very nervous, but she's also very gentle. So it's almost like if you tell her that things are okay, she believes you. Yeah. And like I said, I groomed her in her stall. I braided her hair. She stood there and let me curry comb her. And I realized that I still can't do that to Jet. I have to tie him up or he'll bite me. You know?
Can you get him mixed up and just send Jet back instead of her? Or can we just call Jet? Jet was a foster, right?
Yeah. Wait, didn't I foster him 4 years ago?
Oh, you know what? I have something for Jet. Listen to this story and think about it, okay? Isn't Jet the one that always has the trouble around the racetracks and, you know, you have to go to shows and they're always in racetrack, blah, 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 all that, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, listen to this. 6-year-old, all of the above, the name of the horse, was living the retired life, training to become an eventer when he decided to let his handlers know he wasn't done with racing yet. According to the Off Track Thoroughbreds blog, the horse had just finished with a jump training session and was being untacked by Adrian Jones, the owner's daughter, when all of the above took off. He sprinted across the training facility and galloped a quarter mile to a nearby training track, leapt over the outside rail, and proceeded to breeze 2 miles before anybody could catch him. Now all of the above is headed back to race training at Monmouth Park. He was originally retired after a foot abscess, which he's since healed from. Owner Keith Jones said the horse will run at the allowance level to avoid him being claimed, and if he doesn't like the track, he'll be re-retired. But maybe Jet just needs to go back to the track for a little bit.
My God, he'd have a heart attack. But cool story about the horse. It's like, I'm not done. I really want to run. But it goes on to show that, you know, you really should be a jumper, too, once you're done, because you did jump out of the field and jump into the track, so...
I'm thinking steeple-chasing is what this one should be doing. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking jump racing would be the key for this one. Yeah, so there you go. There's your solution for Jet. Just bring him back to the track. You got to have one there somewhere. And, you know, let him go run around and see if he wants to play.
I just got a message from Uta Shepherd that says she just sent me a picture of her horse that is also a great-grandson of Secretariat, great-granddaughter of Secretariat. I bet there's about 4 billion great-granddaughters of Secretariat out there. But
there
they're related. So sweet. They're third cousins or whatever.
And either that or Man of War. You're one of the two. You're one of the two.
I think, actually, Man of War is a great-grandsire of Secretariat. You got both, probably.
Seems like Man of War was the one that, you know, you always hear about when you go way back. Man of War started everybody. That was it.
Yeah.
It was just man. Only one being bred back in, what was it, 1920s or 30s or whatever it was. Hey, there are a couple other things before we get to our first guest. Is there's a big fire going on in San Diego right now, and Stephen Peters, our top dressage rider here in the United States, was forced to evacuate his 65 horses from his stables there right outside of San Diego. It's a big fire, too. I saw the map of it today.
California's on fire.
20,000 homes were evacuated along with many farms. He wasn't the only one. But can you imagine? Oh, we've got to get 65 horses out of here now. That's a lot of horses. They moved them to the where did they move them to?
The track.
Oh, there's
the
track. Yep, the track is who's housing them right now. And there were a bunch of other farms that apparently had to move. Another dressage farm there owned by some Germans that they had to move the horses off of. So they're keeping an eye on that. So far, the fire has not come in and hit his farm, but there were pictures of his farm, and the fire was just on the hill over the top. So,
can you imagine, first of all, the loss that would be sustained at a place like Stephen Peters' barn? I mean, that place is probably, a billion-dollar facility, but also the unbelievable undertaking of evacuating 65 horses.
I know. How many trailers does it take to do that?
I know. Load them up. I'll be right back.
Four per? Yeah. How many? 65 divided by 4. What do we got there? About 25?
Oh, my gosh. I can't even imagine how many trips they had to make. And, I did see on Facebook yesterday that Taryn Atkinson from Copper Meadows, they posted, we have 60 temporary stalls if anybody needs to evacuate and come here. Yeah, I guess the whole of California is just on fire, as is typical this time of year, sadly. But, they are in a drought, and I don't know what happened, but it is bad out there. And just poor people that have to – I can't imagine having to evacuate your place. Ugh.
I'm just reading here, hundreds of firefighters fought the blaze with help from air tankers and helicopters. I'm wondering if Joseph from EquityMFG.com, a lot of you may, who is our sponsor today for our trivia, many of you may not know, not only is the inventor of the best manure fork out there, he is a fire helicopter pilot. So, and he just let me know last month he got recertified and he'll be out in the fires again this year. So, yeah, he flies the helicopters that drop the big loads or drop the firefighters into the middle of the blazes. So, so he might be down there doing his thing. And thank God there's like that. That's dangerous because there's all kinds of weird air currents and the fires create these air currents. It's a very dangerous job. So we appreciate people like Joseph out there doing that too.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a hero. I can't even. I think helicopters are scary enough, but then hovering over fires? No, thank you.
Yeah. Boy, there was another one. While we're on bizarre stories of the day, I got two more. You know how about 2 years ago, and this happened in Arizona, not too far from you, there was the bouncy house that went flying in the wind and took the kids with it, and we had that story about how it flew across the street and then it went up in the air all this stuff. Remember the bouncy house story? That was not too far from you.
I think it was in China or something.
It was Arizona. It was right near you in Arizona. Well, happened again in South Glens Falls, New York. A toy bouncy house was set up by a neighbor of the family. By the way, you never have the neighbor of the family set up the toy bouncy house, whose home is located in Ferry Boulevard. Witnesses said the house was secured to the ground prior to the accident and went airborne with the motor still attached. Apparently, there was a gust of wind, and it yanked the whole thing off the ground. There were three kids in it. This doesn't have necessarily a happy ending either. The girl fell out as the bouncy horse started to float away. However, get this, the boys were still inside and fell out when it hit 20 feet off the ground. There was a picture, and it looked like it must have been 60 to 80 feet off the ground as it was floating away. This thing took off, and it just goes to show. Next time you get a bouncy house, you make sure that thing is so secure to the ground. Two rules here. Make sure it's really nailed to the ground, and two, don't do it on a windy day because it's not good.
Have professionals install those. They have people that come to your house. I was just thinking, too, that for Lucas's birthday, I was thinking we should get a bouncy house. Now I'm not so sure because it's really windy here right now.
Yeah, no, if it's windy, it's not the best. How many of these stories have we seen? This is not the first one. Ugh, you know, and the poor kids that were stuck in the bouncy house of going airborne, what do you do? I mean, then on a
it's
happier
almost,
note.
It's almost like Oz, the movie with James Franco. Yes. Throw them their hat and their suitcase.
And they didn't have little Toto with them either. So, next, I got a story for you. The latest craze in China. Now, China is known for some weird stuff. They do. They have weird crazes in China, and it's always you always see China craze together. Well, the latest craze in China is the newest thing is a new. It's not even a new breed. It's a new way of showing a new breed, and they're calling it panda dogs. And what they do is they take chows, and they go to a 2.5-hour spa treatment and coming out looking like little panda bears. And I posted a picture on our show notes page, Jamie, and they do look like little panda bears. They look amazingly like little panda bears after 2 hours of spa treatment. And the
those are not pandas?
No, these are dogs. These are chows. And they're taken in the grooming process to transform the dog takes an estimated 2 hours. Then they'll stay for around 6 weeks, and the owners bring them back for touch-ups. The dye that they use to get them to look like pandas is allegedly safe for dogs, as chemical treatments are reportedly not used to create the trendy panda dog. So what they do is they take these chows and they dye the black eyes.
Oh, God, that's the cutest thing I've ever seen. I don't want
Jennifer,
a chow. I want a panda.
Jennifer, if you could post that picture on Facebook, that'd be great. Yep, panda dogs. Newest thing. How much do you think a two-hour treatment to make your chow look like a panda costs? That can't be cheap.
You know, it's like $100 to have an Australian shepherd shaved. I can't even imagine how much it costs to make a panda dog. But I'll tell you what, it's worth it. It would be worth it.
Well, they said it's also worth it in another way because 10 years ago, the natural instinct of the Chinese was to eat the dogs. They said now with all these designer dogs and things, they're less inclined to eat them. So there you go. That was in the article.
It just gets worse. It just keeps getting worse.
Oh, that was just a bizarre. You know how those days when we have no news, we get together before the show and we go, I can't find any news. There's nothing to talk about. And then there's those days when it's just bizarre story after bizarre story. Well, today's one of those days. It's the bizarre story.
Oh, my God. Eat dogs.
You know, there is a race coming up. We could talk about that.
Yes, the Preakness is this weekend. Oh, God. Why did I do that?
Saturday sets you up. You know, you never, you never get it.
Pimlico, I'll be like, there's a race coming
in the middle of it.
There's
all
a race today. Coming up. Really? What race is it? Let me guess.
I can't play it if I say it. You have to say it. That's the rule. I can't play it if I say it. You have to say it. So, but you fall into it every time. It's like from one day to the next, you just totally forget.
Gosh, I hate that. I realize I'm actually obsessing compulsively about this race. I actually had a dream, Glenn. I was at the Preakness. Yeah, just wait for this.
In the infield
awesome.
With Pegasus?
No, I was on the sidelines in a handicapping contest with the people from the show,
the
horse
God.
Players.
You need more sleep.
I do. I really do. So I'm hanging out with the guys from Horse Players, and I'm watching this, and it turns out they had moved the race to – they left Pimlico, and it was on a high school track, like a synthetic, you know, like the bouncy surfaces of a high school track, and the horse, like the turns are really short. And I'm watching California Chrome, and he broke from like the five hole, and he came out, and they made the first turn, and all the horses collapsed except for one who went on to win. And I was like, this is crap. Like, they shouldn't have this. This should never be a race against California Chrome. I'm obsessing about this. So I have watched videos of California Chrome just trotting at Pimlico, like his first tour of Pimlico. I'm obsessively watching it. I really feel like this is the year, you guys. This is the TC year. It's been over 25 years. I don't care. This is the one.
Well, apparently he settled in quite well. He didn't want to get off the trailer. I don't know if you saw that video, but when he got there, there were photographers like by the thousands. And he just said, screw this. I'm getting back on the trailer. I'm not getting off.
I don't blame him. Look what happened to Paris Hilton. I mean, she's a disaster with all the paparazzi. So I wouldn't want a paparazzi around me either. I can't blame him. I love this horse. I'm so excited. I will read everything I can about him, and I think it's going to be the year. So, and I'm having really weird dreams about the Preakness this weekend, so I don't know what to do.
Well, we'll do more coverage on Friday's show. We'll have our whole rundown of who's – we don't even quite know yet. They don't have the whole lineup exactly set. We know who most of the horses are. But we'll do the whole rundown like we did. Well, I think people really liked the way we did that. We got a couple comments about the way we ran it all down for the Kentucky Derby. So we'll do the same thing on Friday for the Preakness. A lot of the horses will be the same, so we don't have much to say. But the let me see here.
There's only one to talk about. I mean, whatever, put California Chrome and bet him with the field.
The post position draw is tonight. It's at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and apparently it's being covered on HRTV Live. So they'll have the live stream of the Preakness post draw tonight. So we'll know more after tonight.
Awesome. I can't wait. Hey, just to remind you guys, I don't mean to brag, but I'm taking this awesome vacation. Awesome vacation, and I'm doing it in August, I think July, oh, August. I'm going to head to the Diamond D Ranch. The Diamond D Ranch is Idaho's premier all-inclusive guest ranch, and it's in the Frank Church Wilderness, surrounded by the Salmon River Mountains. This place is gorgeous, you guys. There's activities for the whole family. For the horse people, there's horseback riding, and then for the husband, which is what mine's going to do, it's fly fishing, there's hiking, you can pan for gold, you can go swimming, and I'm most excited about the archery. I am going to be Katniss Everdeen, you guys. I am going to learn to shoot a bow at this ranch, and you're going to hear me entering Penny into these archery horseback riding competitions. I'm going to be awesome, and it's all going to start at the Diamond D Ranch. They do actually also have custom pack trips. They can do anywhere from 1 to 5 night pack trips. So what you do is you ride out of the trailhead and you set up camp at the hot springs, which is like almost 6 miles downstream. That's how far you can ride. I mean, it's just thousands, millions of acres. They head to an old abandoned ranch called the Falconberry Ranch, and then there's Moon Creek, and you can go fishing there. And apparently the fly fishing is incredible all the way around there. And the good news is the guides do everything. They set up your camp, they cook for you, they clean up, they take care of the horses. Apparently it is just a super plush, I'm using finger quotes, wilderness experience. It's $350 a day for the pack trips per person. It's all inclusive. This is the most reasonable guest ranch that I've seen online. I went to one in Wyoming that was like almost twice as much, and I still went and I loved it, but to be able to go to this place and to have all these different activities, you know, it's not just for the horses. They have babysitters at this place, too. So check them out on their website. We're going to post a link to it. It's DiamondDRanch-Idaho.com. And if you guys are planning a trip in the next while, definitely look it up. Definitely. We're flying into Boise, and then we're driving to the ranch from there. And I'm so excited.
So Chad is going along on this one?
Yes, I'm going to let him come. Actually, he's really excited about it, too, because, yeah, he can ride. Well, but, you know, I think what's scary to a dude about going to a dude ranch is that they think it's only horses all the time. And
well, he can fly fish. That sounds like fun. Yeah, that sounds like fun.
Fly fish, we're gonna learn to defend ourselves in the woods with the archery.
By the way, I just had to tell you real quick that I just read an article that because of the Hunger Games movies, which I can't wait for the third one to come out, because of the Hunger Games movies, archery sales are up like 3,000%. So you're not the only one wanting to learn archery thanks to Hunger Games. Huge.
Just call me Katniss after I come back from this trip because I am gonna nail it. I'm gonna be awesome. I need to start practicing now because I need to get some calluses on my fingers so I can just put it right where I bam right in the eye.
What was the website again for the ranch?
DiamondDRanch-Idaho.com. There's a couple different Diamond D ranches, but this is the one in the heart of the Salmon River Mountains. Go look on the picture. It's just beautiful. I cannot wait. And they have horses, and there's, like, women run the place. Women take care of all the horses. They take care of all the farrier work. I mean, this is, like, it's an inspiring place to go as well. So just check it out. We'll post a link on our Facebook page.
Very good. Thank you, Jamie.
Now it's time for the European Report with Horse and Country TV.
And is she here? Is she ready? Victoria, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. My day is better when I get to talk to you.
Oh, I wish I had that effect on everybody.
I thought you were going to say, oh, I wish you had that effect on me. That's what I thought you were going to say.
That goes without saying, Jamie.
Yeah, you're just a little liar. So, what an awesome weekend. I think I've read everything that you've written so far about badminton. I loved your wrap-up that you did. You were there. How was it?
It was an amazing weekend. We had some pretty wild weather. And, you know, I don't know if you saw any of the dressage, but the marquees surrounding the arenas were flapping so loudly and so noisily and frighteningly. And we kept looking up at the ceiling fans and lights and thinking, is this marquee going to come down and squash the entire workings of the equestrian media? So imagine trying to do dressage on a fit event horse in conditions like those. It was a tough few days. And then, of course, along came cross country, and it was a return to the old days of badminton when people could jump up and down the scoreboard, where not many people finished, and where all the best riders in the world ended up hitting the deck.
Yeah. I mean, when you hear names like William Fox Pitt in that category, it is... You know, it's shocking. And then to see the photos of Mark Todd almost drowning in the water jump, I mean, my God.
That hasn't happened for several years. We've not had a horse going swimming at the deep end. But Mark Todd really is quite remarkable that he managed to get back on course and complete on that horse. But it was a bit of an alarming moment in what was a day filled with alarming moments. There was quite a few. And I was worried that, you know, was something going to happen and was there going to be a fall where either a horse or a rider got injured. But actually, everybody walked away. And it did lead to a really exciting, varied competition where actually cross-country riders came to the fore instead of dressage specialists or people that are really good at show jumping. It's meant to be all about cross-country, not the other two phases.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, talk to us about, let's see, I guess we'll start with the winner, Harry.
Sam Griffiths. I mean, we kind of hadn't really paid much attention to him throughout the beginnings of the competitions. He was 25th after dressage, so kind of mid-division. He had a horse called Happy Times, who was a very consistent eventer and was often in top 10 at four-star. But this mare has never really sort of shone at four-star level. She only had her first badminton a year ago, and I think she finished 46th. And, of course, she's a mare, which I didn't even notice until the final day. And so she became the first mare to win since Hedley Britannia in 2007. And she's only the fourth mare in the history of the event. So it's quite exciting for her.
Victoria, I got to tell you, I was on, I produced last night with Joe and Nate for the Eventing Radio Show. And they had a chat with Sam, and what a super nice guy he is. He's just a nice guy. And Joe, actually Joe, who hosted the eventing show last night, was the one responsible for helping him get that horse. Joe had ridden that horse before at badminton. So it was kind of neat hearing those two talk about that particular horse. And let me tell you, Sam Griffiths was as shocked as anybody that he won that competition.
Yes, it was. It was a bit of a surprise, but nice to see somebody else win and a new name on the leaderboard, because the last couple of years it just seems to be Andrew Nicholson and William Fox Pitt switching four-star victories between them. So it was quite nice to get somebody else up there for a change.
Dave, I was just going to say, you on their show jumping, I wanted to tell you this. He was like fifth from the end or something. And then there were several others, the ones who could have won the competition after him. He couldn't watch. So he was just out with his horse. He said, I hung out with my horse outside the arena. He found out he won from his trainer, who came running out and gave him a big hug. That's how he knew he won.
Oh, my gosh.
It would have been a stressful few minutes if he was watching. And it was such an influential show jumping. There was only one clear round all day, which is a girl called Wendy Schaefer, who jumps internationally as well as eventing. So she obviously has got that phase pretty nailed. And she got time faults, so nobody managed to jump clear and within the time on the final day. So Sam, having had a fence, probably thought, you know, he's definitely going to get a top five finish, but that's probably it. And then, of course, everybody above him just dropped down the rankings, including poor Paul Tapner, who went from being in the lead to dropping right down. I think he finished ninth in the end, so it was a real shame for him.
Now, Sam Griffiths was the one, Harry Mead is the comeback story of a lifetime. I mean, he had a crash a year ago where I believe he shattered both his elbows. He was told he may never ride again, and then he comes in second at badminton.
He was third, actually, behind Oliver Tyner, and yes, but it was a brilliant result. And quite interestingly, again, you know, Harry Mead has always been really strong across country, but he's never been sort of the one that's in contention and at four-star level after dressage. So it was nice to see a rider like him also be up there. But his story is just amazing. I saw a really cool photo on Instagram, which you might be able to find on his feed. And it was a year ago, him in a hospital bed with both his elbows suspended from the ceiling. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, a few months later on at badminton, he's holding the same arms up aloft, celebrating on the final day. So it's a really cool picture. It just shows, you know, he was in huge big elbow braces for absolutely months, and his elbows were shattered. It was really quite horrendous, and he was meant to have them replaced. Then he was going to have a huge big operation, and he was all booked into the hospital to do this, and a specialist said, no, it's too much of a risk, you might end up never being able to ride again. And so he didn't have the operation, and he just relied on them knitting together, and luckily they were strong enough to hold up round badminton. So really quite remarkable.
Definitely. Now, we played some audio from Jenny Rudolph, who is kind of your partner in crime. I guess you produce for her, and she's the on-camera person. She is so charming.
She is.
She squeals.
She does. She's like a mare just getting too excited. I can't hear her in there and make that noise when she's
glad something. To hear you say that.
I've said worse probably on the after last day. It's quite funny because Jenny is a taller, slimmer, with more husky voice version of me, and we constantly get mistaken. I had people that I've never met before coming up at badminton chatting away to me, and I'm thinking, I've never met you. And then I realize why. And somebody on Twitter said, oh, I've just spotted Vicky outside the press office, and tagged me, and I looked, and it was a picture of Jenny. we get called the twins, the press room twins.
I do have a question for you to follow up on badminton. So what's the they tried to, last year it was easy, about 80% of the riders completed, and it was pretty much a dressage event. This year they intentionally made it a little more difficult, and then the weather made it really difficult because you'd had gale force winds and rain, and just, it was miserable, as you know, you were out in it. So what was the story, though? Are people happy that it went this way? Do you think it's going to go back? Are we going to find a happy medium? What's the scuttlebutt over there?
I think, as you might have seen in my blog, you know, I thought it was a great badminton. I am relieved that nobody was injured, but I thought it was great to see that kind of influence of the cross country. Lucinda Green, also, you can see a video of her talking about it, saying how it was back to its best and how the course designer had done a very good job. I think I have seen a few comments. I think Mary King wrote on her Facebook wall that, you know, she obviously didn't have a great ride on Imperial Cavalier, which is unusual. And she kind of did say, you know, it was very tough for the first timers. But on the flip side of that, you know, it's meant to be the toughest event in the world. And when you have 80% of riders competing, as you did last year, and lots finishing clear within the time, it's just not really a proper three-day, four-star event. And so I think the overwhelming verdict is a good thing. And I think Giuseppe will be invited back next year to design. So that's always a kind of... praise for him and for the job he did this year.
How much of it was the weather and how much of it was the course design, do you think? You were sludging around in it and probably are still wrinkled from all the rain you had.
Well, I got to shelter in the press tent and only ventured out once and got very wet during a course walk. I would say that some of the fences that everybody was scared of before the event, like the new Vicarage V, actually jumped really well and didn't cause that many trouble. Things like the Owl Hole, which I don't know if you saw Mary King's amazing...
That's the one Mary got stuck in, yeah.
Yes, indeed. I mean, that was pretty much identical last year and didn't cause any trouble at all, and this year caused utter mayhem. So it's just one of those things. But I think the most influential part was the problems at Huntsman's Close, and that... those wouldn't have happened to that extent if you hadn't had so many tired horses that had been galloping on this heavier ground and a bit of a slog and had a lot of warm blood types, and they maybe weren't quite fit enough to cope with that stamina test. And by the time they got to Huntsman's Close near the end of the track, mistakes crept in. So I think that's what made the weather most influential, was the ground and a lot of tired horses.
Yeah. Now, The most important question, Victoria, and you said you were unable to do it last year, is did you get to go shopping?
I think Jenny and I escaped for about 20 minutes on Sunday morning before the show jumping, and I went to buy a few things. And it's slightly overwhelming at badminton. There's so many shops. And I'm the sort of person that I quite like going to one store and getting everything I need and stopping shopping. And you can't really do that at badminton. And the crowds and the mud and the busyness, I just thought I'm going to go back to my little desk in the press room instead. So yet again, no shopping at badminton. I'm off to another show this weekend for Horse and Country, which is Royal Windsor, which is the one held in the Queen's back garden. So I might get to do some shopping then.
Oh, good. Well, you've got an event horse now, so you have a complete reason to continue to spend your money.
She's not quite an event horse. She's going to her first unaffiliated horse trials in 2 weeks' time, and we're feeling very underprepared. So, yes, an event horse in the making.
Yes, that means you need a shop. If you have enough gear and enough equipment and enough tack, she is officially an event horse.
Exactly.
Doesn't matter if she can jump a jump.
If I put that weird grease on her legs, then she's definitely an event horse.
Awesome. So tell us about your new show, too, finally going to air.
Yes, we've got another Carl and Charlotte documentary. So Carl Hester and Charlotte Dujardin, who are huge, big stars on the Horse and Country TV channel. And they are on the lookout for the next Allegro. So they go off to KWPN grading show in Holland. And they go to a dressage rider and breeder, Anna van Olstad. And they also introduce you to some of their homebred horses in the search for the next superstar. So it's quite an interesting way you kind of see, you get to go behind the scenes and see how top riders find this potential amazing Olympic horse and what they're looking for and how they do it. So very interesting.
Now, can we watch this online? Because that is good TV right there. I mean, I would love to know. I mean, and no pressure. We need another Allegro.
We do need another Velegro, and that we've just added a video to our site, which is a colt who is by Utopia, so Carl's horse, and out of Velegro's sister. So you can't get much better breeding than that.
Wow, awesome. Okay, so we can see at least some of this online because we don't, you know, obviously get to see the UK shows. It needs to come over here. You need to make it happen. But go check out horseandcountry.tv to find out more. I'm so excited. I'm so glad you got to go to Badminton. Thank you for such a great, thorough report and keeping us up to date on Carl and Charlotte. I appreciate it. And Victoria, anything else we need to know about before we let you go?
Well, just keep checking back over the weekend if you want to find out if the Queen has had any winners in her back garden. It's always a bizarre show where you could be watching some Highland ponies or some retrained racehorses, and suddenly you look up and the Queen is standing right next to you. So we'll be on Royal Reporting
TV. How cool is that?
I might get Jenny to do a blog with the Queen in the background, and I might ask Jenny to do her now trademark squeal and see what Her Majesty makes of this.
Oh, my God, it's the Queen. Like, basically, you're going to have the Queen photobomb your report.
That is our plan. We will do our best.
I love it. Give me a screenshot. Post one on our Facebook page over the weekend. I want it.
I will try. I will try my very best.
Awesome. Thanks, Victoria.
Have a great week.
You too.
How cool is that? You just say, I'm going to go, I'm going to a show this weekend in the Queen's back garden.
You know what, Glenn? They would never let you in.
No. I wouldn't pass security. They would say, no.
It'd be like, take him down. Now. Go.
Did you see the picture of the Queen that's floating around on Facebook of her doing a selfie with the family with her grandson and great-grandson, and everything's there, and she's doing a selfie. Did you see it yet?
No.
She's doing a selfie. The whole family's there, and she's doing a selfie, and she's holding her phone out, and she has a couple of corgis on her phone. She has a phone, you know, she has an iPhone, and it has a cover with corgis on it. Isn't that funny?
Oh, my God, I see it. That's awesome. Somebody's taking a picture of her doing a selfie.
Yes. Just cute. You don't picture the Queen talking on an iPhone at 90 what years old, but yeah, there she is on her iPhone with the corgis.
Honestly, I bet that's one of like the girls on the right, or maybe that's Prince William's phone. He's got the corgis with the heart on it, and he's doing bunny ears on the Queen. I'm posting that on our Facebook page.
It's too cute. It really is. Well, we are going to take a break for our song today, and then we're going to be coming back. We have the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge coming up with Uncle Jimmy. Uncle Jimmy of Uncle Jimmy's Hanging Balls and Uncle Jimmy's Brand Products. And now, Ace Mounted Shooter on the show with us today. He's a little nervous. He said he was a little nervous to play our listener today. So we're going to get Uncle Jimmy on and have a good time playing a little trivia here in a minute. But first, Horsing Around by Mary Ann Kennedy. We'll be right back.
We work all week so that we can eat and own a little piece of God's ground. Pushing papers and pens, red tape never ends. The stress can turn a smile into a frown. Some horsing around. Going to the barn, my trouble just away. My best friend and I settle up and get away. This is what makes a horse lover's heart bound. Horsing around. Can have me 40 hours a week. After that I can be found. Hitting the trail with my saddle pal, I can be lost, but then I'm found. When I'm home,
That was Marianne Kennedy with Horsin' Around. You can find all of her music at MarianneKennedy.com or find her on iTunes. Just search for Marianne Kennedy. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is in the producer chair.
Hold on. Baby's going to the cat food. I got to go close the door. Hold on.
And Jamie is now rescuing the baby from the cat food. So we will wait till she gets back to continue here.
I'm back.
All right, good. Did you save the baby from the cat food?
Yeah, well, the litter box is right next to that, too. So all I needed was a baby in a litter box.
That would be fun. So Jennifer is now getting Uncle Jimmy set up here, I think, and we'll chat with him in just a minute. We'll get the celebrity trivia challenge going. I wanted to remind everybody, we were just talking about badminton. We mentioned the Eventing Radio Show. If you want to take a listen to that, Joe Meyer and Max Cochran hosted this week's episode, and they talked to not only Sam Griffiths, who won badminton, they also spoke to the other big winner, Buck Davidson, who won Jersey Fresh. So they had them both on the show. It was a terrific show. And you'll hear in that show how Joe Meyer, host of the show, was involved with the horses that won both those competitions. So it was interesting to hear them all chatting and talking about the relationships there and how that all comes about. So take a listen to eventingradio.com is where you'll find that latest episode. And what else did I have? Oh, tomorrow morning we're going to be here live. It's the North American Trail Conference show. We're going to be talking trail riding tomorrow morning. Alice will be co-hosting like she did last month. So it's all about trail riding live here on the show from the NATY. I can never say that. It's the National Association of Trail Ride Conference. Something like that. NATRC.
N-A-T-R-C.
That's it. Thank you. I always mess that one up. NATRC. They'll be here tomorrow morning live at 9 a.m. Thank you, Jennifer. I really appreciate it.
It's time for the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge, where each week a different unsuspecting world-renowned celebrity equestrian is pitted against a humble Horses in the Morning listener, willing to risk it all for a prize package or a nod of approval from one of the greats from the equestrian universe. Now, let the battle of equestrian acuity begin.
That's right. It's time for the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge, and we are, of course, brought to you by EquityMFG, who are the maker of the finest manure forks in the world. If you want a sturdy manure fork, one that is not going to break on you, Jamie and I and Jennifer, we've had ours for over 2 years now. Not a tine bent, not a tine broken, and we use them every single day here at the farm. I can't tell you how many people we bought them for as gifts. About half our listening audience at this point, I think, has bought them and uses them every day. If you are feeling left out, if you are one of the lonely children, it's because you don't own an Uncle Jimmy's manure fork. You need to go on to, or sorry, you need to own an Equity manure fork. Sorry about that, Uncle Jimmy. So you need to go on to the website, EquityMFG.com. Don't be left out. Don't be one of the sad children on the playground without the cool new toy. And I guarantee you, you'll never use anything else. EquityMFG.com. And thank you, Joseph, owner of Equity, for his service. He's out there fighting fires right now, flying helicopters. So we appreciate him doing that as well. Uncle Jimmy is known worldwide for his hanging balls, but you know what? He is also a horse guy and knows a little bit
that
about riding
so
them.
Funny.
I know. Hey, Uncle Jimmy.
How are you doing, sir?
Good. It's so good to talk to you again.
I didn't know that I made a horse picking fork.
Yeah, you know what? You're in the ball business. You might as well get in the other business too, you know? What the heck? Uncle Jimmy's, of course, is known for his wonderful horse treats that horses all over the world enjoy. And I can say that now, can't I, Uncle Jimmy, all over the world?
Yes, yes, you can.
Yeah, you're big in Europe now.
Yeah, we've expanded down quite a bit in England and Australia.
Wow.
And, we just started
well, you know,
in Australia.
There are two
recently.
Countries that could really appreciate your hanging balls. You know, I think they're countries.
Yeah.
Uncle Jimmy,
wow.
you're into something new, too. Let's talk a little bit about your new passion.
My new passion. What can I say about it? I live and breathe it. The thought of getting on a horse is one great thing, but to get on a horse and shoot off of it is another. Wow.
Yeah.
It's
He's
if
armed.
You do it once, you are just stuck. I mean, you can't do anything else.
So you're into mounted shooting now. How's it going? Are you world champion yet?
Yeah, right. just trying to hit the balloons right now. I had this one horse last year that I purchased, and it had been ridden by a level 6 rider, and the problem with that is just starting out as I did as a level 1 rider. This horse wants to go at a speed that a level 6 rider goes, and by the time I pulled my gun to shoot the first balloon, he was already through the course, so it wasn't pretty.
I can see, like you're galloping along, you're trying to get your gun out of the holster, and they, like, stop.
And I can't tell you how many times I dropped it in the mud, you know, and they have to stop everything and go get it, and you're sitting there all embarrassed. But, you know, it's all part of it, and everyone does it. That's the thing. When you go in there as a new guy, you got to remember that anything you've done, everybody else has done as well before you.
I got to imagine that little video gamer kids who have grown up playing video games would be really good at this sport.
Yeah, maybe.
Glenn, they're not athletic enough.
Yeah, they're not
on
riding horses either. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
There is a lot going on when you get into that arena. I mean, you can watch it and say how fun it looks and think that you can do it, and then when you go in, all of a sudden, people have a tendency to get lost in the course. People forget to draw their second gun. I mean, there's so many things that happen. It's quite interesting.
Shoot themselves in the knee, you know, all that stuff.
We won't talk about that.
I have to give a shout out to a listener of ours who I know is listening right now, and she listens almost every day. Her name is Minnie Sarah, and she Uncle Jimmy drives a Mini, and she actually does mounted cart shooting. So
oh my.
She's driving her Mini and shooting a course, and she just sent me pictures of a competition she was at over the weekend. So her name is Mini Sarah, and Sarah's Mini too. She's not too much bigger than her horses, but she's super sweet, and she listens to our show when she actually does dialysis treatments, and she listens to our show at dialysis every morning. So hi Mini Sarah, and I saw your pictures. You looked great. So. It's not only for riders, but for I want to shoot off my cart, too. Do you think my Hackney Pony would put up with that, Uncle Jimmy, or do you think I'd be in the next county?
No, I think, actually, if you would go to a clinic that they offer, it is amazing the people that go in there. A horse has never heard of a gunshot before. By the time we are done with the clinic, you are shooting off your horse, around your horse, anything you want to do.
Jed would be perfect for this, Jamie. Your retired racehorse that's schizophrenic about everything. He'd be great for this.
Yeah, I'm sure he would be just fine. I'm telling you, when I'm using archery and I'm galloping along bareback shooting bow and arrow off of him, the gun's going to be nothing.
Wow.
That is impressive. That does look like fun. I thought...
Uncle Jimmy, it's not impressive because I don't do that, but I plan someday to do that.
It's a dream, Jimmy. It's a dream.
It's a dream.
Jimmy.
I don't want to be in the audience. No.
Yeah, see, you're shooting blanks. You're not going to hurt anybody. Somebody's shooting a bow and arrow and it goes wrong. That can go wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's pretty bad.
Hey, Uncle Jimmy, you're playing for a charity today, and it's one of our favorite charities here at the Horses in the Morning Show, and it's New Vocations, and, of course, they're all about horse adoption. We've had them on the show here about 100 times, and every time I'm proud to say that they come on the show and talk about a horse that gets adopted shortly after. They do racehorse adoption, both thoroughbred and standardbred, and do a terrific job. They've adopted over 5,000 retired horses now.
Wow.
So, they are playing for a gift pack. You're playing for them. And if you win, it's what we're giving away today. The prize is a gift pack of Uncle Jimmy's products, aren't we?
Correct. That is correct.
And
awesome.
That could include the hanging balls. That could include the licky things, any number of things. And I want to, before we introduce our listener, I just wanted to go real quick here and read something one of our listeners wrote. Let me find it. I'm looking for it. We have a ton of posts right now on our Facebook page. Happy Barbie in New Jersey wrote, I want to play Uncle Jimmy. I just ordered 4 buckets of squeezy buns to get the ponies out of the fields and back into the stable. I crinkle the wrapper, and they come a-running. So there you go.
It's so true.
I've never used this before. And so we're kind of peppermint people. And so I bought some squeezy buns because they're the first ones that I've seen that are individually wrapped. And so they don't get hard and they, you open a big bag,
pocket
they don't get
sticky.
Hard. They're soft and yeah, your pocket gets sticky. So this mare that I got, my foster, is, she doesn't like peppermint at all. Can't stand them. And, I always crinkle the wrapper with the peppermints to get the horses in. Well, she won't eat a peppermint. Won't even sniff it. And so I started using squeezy buns. I got on her yesterday, Uncle Jimmy, using squeezy buns. So I just wanted to thank you very much. It's such a great product.
Thank you very much.
Well,
so
that's awesome.
The winner today is going to get a gift pack. Well, let's meet your competitor, Uncle Jimmy. We have Andrea McCullough. Who you are playing today. Good morning, Andrea.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Good morning. Yeah, no problem.
And you know what? I want to thank Andrea, too, because she's also an official HRN auditor. So thank you for becoming an auditor and being a supporter of the horse race. We gave her applause for that. That's a good thing. And
well,
we appreciate,
I really
where are you
enjoyed
from?
It, though.
Where are you from, Andrea?
Well, I live in Birmingham, Alabama, but I'm from Rochester, New York.
Oh, wow. So you decided to move south like we did, huh?
Yeah, I took a job after college down here, and I haven't left. I don't make the snow.
Well, you haven't picked up any of the southern accent yet, though, and you live in Alabama where it's really thick.
I do. And I will say, though, my friends, when I go home to visit, they think I've got a little bit of it. But I don't, not compared to the people down here, I don't think so.
Not compared to when Jamie turns it on, let me tell
you. That's right.
And or listening
hey,
to
y'all.
Jamie's dad.
Come on.
Now, Andrea, tell us, do you have horses? What's the story?
I do. I have 2 horses in my backyard. So I've got a 30-year-old Dutch warm blood who's a, like this Glenn, he's a retired driver. He did competitive driving.
Okay.
He actually was on the gold medal team in 1998 for the World Equestrian Championship. According to
Really?
So he hangs out in the backyard, and then I've got a 8-year-old Swedish warm blood there.
Do these warm bloods like horse treats?
They love them.
Oh, well, I see an Uncle Jimmy's hanging ball coming your way if you can get some of these questions right.
They would be thrilled with that.
Everybody's thrilled with that. All horses
I know.
Are thrilled with that.
Okay.
Andrea,
well, here.
Andrea,
go ahead. I'm Uncle Jimmy.
You know what? If you don't make me look stupid, I'll send you some.
We have backroom deals down here.
That shouldn't be an issue. I'm worried I won't even make one right, so we'll be all right.
Jamie,
don't
take
worry,
it away.
You guys, you can't do worse than they did a couple weeks ago. So it's really, I mean, the bar is pretty low at this point. So how this works is, Andrea, I'm going to ask you a question, and then Uncle Jimmy, I'm going to ask you a question, and we're going to go back and forth and back and forth. There's three questions, and then we have a tiebreaker if we need it, and if we get to that, I'll explain it as it goes. That one's usually pretty hard, so let's just try to get this thing nailed down. How it works is, Andrea, I'm going to ask you a true or false question, then Uncle Jimmy, you'll get a true or false question. All right, you guys ready?
Correct. Yeah. Ready.
So 50-50 shot here, Andrea. True or false? Upset was the first horse to win the Preakness twice.
True.
Oh,
I was even out this morning trying to read about the Preakness because I had a feeling that might come up.
Well, the backstory, a horse can't run in the Preakness twice because it's only for three-year-olds. Upset was the horse that beat Man of War. So she was trying to give you a softball. Unfortunately, the 50-50 shot went the other way. So, yeah. Uncle Jimmy, the pressure's off on the first question, okay?
All right.
And Andrea, thanks for knowing that Jennifer's always going to ask questions that kind of revolve around what's going on. Well done studying up. Uncle Jimmy, let's see. Andrea might know this if you don't. True or false? The Preakness Stakes were once run on Coney Island.
That's false.
It's actually true. I would have got that one wrong. From 1894 to 1908, who knows history that old? At Gravesend Racetrack. Gravesend Racetrack. Again, if you have complaints about the question, I need to give you the email, jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. That's where you said your complaints. I just ask them. I don't make them up. All right. We head back to Andrea with a score of goose egg to goose egg, 0-0. The playing field is even. What was Andrea, are you 127 years old?
No, not last time.
Okay, and you probably won't know this.
Okay.
Andrea, what was Hopalong Cassidy's horse's name? I'm going to give you multiple choice. Hopalong Cassidy had a horse. Its name was A, Buttermilk, B, Hoppy, or C, Topper?
C.
That's right.
You got it. Topper is the answer. I would have guessed Buttermilk. I think that's a great horse name. I should name my next horse Buttermilk. That's really cute.
That's what I would have said. I would have said Buttermilk.
Uncle Jimmy, what is your horse's name?
Stretch.
Stretch.
Okay, that's a
cute
name. That's great. Royal Trouble Dock. Andrea, what is your horse's name?
The old guy is Toro, and the young one is Vale.
Vale, okay. These are, like, really nice names. I was hoping for something like, what's the pony's name, Popcorn?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I like names like that.
Or tell Uncle Jimmy, the horse you're fostering, tell him what the mare's real name is.
Her name, Uncle Jimmy, you'll appreciate this. Her racehorse name is Guzzle and Go. Like,
Guzzle and
the
Go.
Beer.
Oh,
and
yes.
Drive.
It was owned by a fraternity, that horse.
I know, right? Okay, we go to Uncle Jimmy. Is this even a horse question, Jennifer? Is this a horse show? I've never even heard of it. Jennifer?
It has relevance. Well, let's say that.
Okay,
it has relevance.
Okay. Uncle Jimmy, it's multiple choice.
She knows how old Uncle Jimmy is.
I know, right? This is in your wheelhouse, dude. In the 1950s, the TV series Sky King, what was the name of Schuyler King's Cessna airplane? Multiple choice. Is it A, Songbird, B, Skybird, or C, the Swan?
Skybird. Oh, no.
Close.
Very close. Oh. It was Songbird. What is the relevance of this TV show, Jennifer?
Yeah, well, I don't even understand this one either. Jennifer, speak up.
Well, it was a cowboy show, but he happened to have an airplane, too, and Jimmy's an airline pilot.
Yes, and I watched it, and I thought for sure it was Skybird. Oh, geez.
I did, too, and I had to look it up.
I forgot you were an airline pilot, Jimmy.
Yeah.
See, Jennifer, there's always a rhyme to your reason. I just wanted to know what it was. I wasn't trying to, like, you know, give you a hard time. I knew there had to be some reason you put that in there. And Uncle Jimmy, I'm sorry. You're just a little bit off. But the score currently is 1-0. 1-0. And we go to the third and final question. Andrea, the 3-week-long All-American Quarter Horse Congress is held annually at the Ohio State Fairgrounds in this city, where you will also find a replica of the Santa Maria. What is the city?
Columbus.
Yay!
Good job.
That is correct. Correct. Quarter Horse Congress is in Columbus. Columbus, Ohio. If you haven't been, it's a lot of fun. Uncle Jimmy, we now move to you. Really, you can't even win. I mean, she's already got you beat. But we'll just move on to this one.
That's not fair. She knows stuff.
Again, it was a TV show that you watched about a plane that you fly. So it was a softball. Here we go. The largest indoor agricultural exposition in the nation, the Pennsylvania Farm Show, is held in what city?
Harrisburg.
Yay! Yes! And if you had gotten that one wrong, ask Uncle Jimmy where he lived, Jamie. Ask him where he lived.
Where do you live, Uncle Jimmy?
Newcastle, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the area. That's great. Well, you got one. See, nobody was made. These were hard questions. Nobody's made it seem silly, you know. And congratulations, Andrea. You got 2 out of the 3 correct. So you are the winner of Uncle Jimmy's products.
Yay, thank you.
Now you're going to have to take a picture when these old guys are chewing on the licky thing and the balls and everything. You're going to have to take a picture and post it on our Facebook page, okay?
I will.
All right, that's terrific. Thank you for playing. We really appreciate you joining us this morning, and I know you jumped in there at the last minute, and I appreciate that, and thank you again for being an auditor. You know, I got to tell all the auditors out there, including you, Andrea, that the first blooper reel is going to be released this week to the auditors. So you're going to get the first listen to the bloopers that nobody else has heard, nobody else will hear unless they become an auditor. So that's coming out this week. And we've taped some extra special. Jamie doesn't know what's going to be in that reel. Let's just say that.
Wait a second. You can't do bloopers on me because this show is live. This entire show is a blooper.
Doesn't mean we don't chat before the show. Doesn't.
Oh, no. You don't record that. Are you kidding me? Oh, my God. I'm a nervous wreck.
Thank you, Andrea.
Thank you.
Hey, hold on. I want to make sure Jennifer gets the right address, and Uncle Jimmy will send out the product. So you hold on. Jennifer will talk to you right now. Uncle Jimmy, it was so kind of you to do this. We really appreciate it.
Well, that's no problem. I enjoy it as usual. I always love getting on the radio and talking with you. It's always a lot of fun, a lot of laughs.
And, you know, it's a big deal now because he's gone international, okay?
That's right.
He's not only a national celebrity, he's an international celebrity, Glenn.
And you know what? He is the only one in the world, the only single person in this entire world of 25 bazillion people that can say that his pecker wrecker is international.
Yes, it is.
I love you.
By the way, Jimmy, Jamie's chickens need more pecker wreckers, so we'll have to get that done, too.
All right, send me an email, and and I will get that with an address. And we have it in a different form now. It's it's a little bigger. And
I think you're gonna
so it's
were you having complaints about size, Jimmy?
No,
never.
Not that you're aware of.
Oh, you're so great. So great. Uncle Jimmy, we thank you so much. We're going to post a link to all of your products on our Facebook page right now. So everybody, if you want to go check it out, it's uncle-jimmys.com, and we can link to it on our Facebook page. It's always a pleasure talking to you. You make Jimmy put me in a good mood.
We please have him back every week because I have so many more jokes I didn't get to use.
You're done. You're grounded. That's it. That's all you
do. Bye, Jimmy.
All right. Thank you very much.
He's like the cool uncle that I never had.
Yeah.
You know?
Not the creepy uncle. Cool uncle. He was a commercial airline pilot for like 25, 30 years and flew all over the world and then started this company a little while back and then quit being an airline pilot to run Uncle Jimmy's full time. So he has a neat story. Does that sound familiar? Somebody else I know that's going to end up being a commercial airline pilot someday?
I don't think Chad's going to quit his job and make horse treats, though. There's no more market for that.
I got to ask you this, though. You probably had this conversation with Chad. And anybody that doesn't know, if you're a new listener, Jamie's husband is now a what rank?
A lieutenant colonel.
A lieutenant colonel in the Air Force and flies at F-16s, right?
Yes,
and,
that is true.
And it teaches other people how to fly F-16s and shoot people out of the sky and stuff. But have you had the conversation? It's got to be a letdown. You go from flying F-16s for as many years as he has, and then you're flying commercial jets, and you're not allowed to shoot anything or turn them over or, you know, flip them upside down or go straight up.
You know, that conversation is twofold. The first thing is, I'm an idiot, and I said, you must be so sad when you're going to have to stop flying the F-16s. That's going to be like a really sad day. And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, it'd be like somebody telling me you can't ride horses anymore. And I said, listen, how much do they cost? I mean, we could probably get you one. And he was like, $40 million. And I was like, oh, yeah. Probably not going to get you one of those. I had no idea. But I think at this point, because there's so much planning, and I mean, every time they fly, it's like 8 hours of work that they have to do, and planning and pre-planning and post-planning. And so that's he'll fly for an hour and a half, and he's gone from home for 12 hours a day. So I ask him, you know, is it going to be boring? He's like, are you kidding me? I get to get in the airplane, get a cup of coffee, read the paper,
put
an
autopilot
on.
Yeah.
He's like, not a problem.
Wake
and I
up
think
in 10
that,
hours.
You know, yeah, exactly. Take a little nap. These guys, their bodies take such a physical toll. You know, his neck is bad. His lower back is bad. They pull these G's all the time.
He has to be one of the oldest out there doing what he's doing now, right? I mean, they usually retire by the time they get to his age, which he's not old, but, you know, they don't last very long because of that problem.
There are not many 40-year-old fighter pilots, I'll tell you that. He's been really lucky to stay in the job that he's had, and hopefully he'll get to retire doing it. So he's only got a couple more years left until he's retirement age, which is just so crazy. But, yeah, I'm married to a 40-year-old fighter pilot. It's like, that's like the guy that dresses way too young, you know, like he's hanging out with all these kids. They're all like 23 and he's 40 and they're all playing drinking games. And I'm like, really? You can't.
I got to tell you, though, I do feel bad for you some days. I was just thinking about this as you were talking, because, you know, he's a lieutenant colonel officer, you know, a high ranking officer in the Air Force. And you know how we always joke that you're that girl at horse shows. You got the horses bucking and kicking and carrying on, and everybody's looking at you. You're always that girl in whatever situation you go to. In the military, you didn't even know his airplane cost $40 million. In the military, you're that wife. The officer's wife who goes to the party and just does not fit in. No matter what you do in life, you're that person.
Didn't I tell you the list of people that came to my house last night, Glenn? They were all horse girls. Like, I definitely, I go and I play Air Force wife and I do what I'm supposed to do. And yes, usually I'm that girl with toilet paper on my shoe and my high heel, you know. but, you know, you get, God love horse women. You know, it's a bond that can't be replicated with anything else. And just to be able to go out and enjoy the beautiful weather and hop on a horse and get some fresh air and some exercise and ride some horses, it just, you can't beat a feeling like that or an experience like that. And you can't share that with people that don't understand it. So to have the Air Force world is great. And it's a nice supportive community. And there are some that cross over, but for the most part, you know, my circle of friends are horse chicks. That's how I've always rolled. And thank God I have them. You know, thank God there's other crazy women like me that like to do this, including all these people still listening to this show. I can't believe they stuck around this long. I love you all.
And let's let them go out and ride their horses. We're at the end of the show today. Thank you so much to our sponsors today. We really appreciate it. And also to EquityMFG.com for sponsoring the trivia and for Uncle Jimmy's for showing up and sending out prizes. He was a nice guy. He was going to send her a prize whether she won or not. So good for him. We will be back here live tomorrow morning. We have our monthly trail show that's going to be here. Alice will be co-hosting, and we'll be talking all about trail riding. So that is the one thing that I know about 80% of our audience does. So we'll be doing that. And then Jamie will be back here Friday. You're back here Friday morning, right, for Really Bad Ads?
I am. So get your Really Bad Ads in. Send them to Jennifer at Horse Training Network.
We have a super different prize this week for Really Bad Ads. Jennifer's going to tell us about it right now. Yes.
Yeah. On the prize table this week from Outback Trading Company, a Packaroo Duster Jacket. The Packaroo Packables rainwear collection from Outback Trading is windproof, waterproof, and breathable, with the jackets, pullovers, dusters, and pants available. Each of these items is capable of being packed into its own attached inside compartment. The Packaroo can scrunch up inside. You can put it inside your backpack or pouch that way. Each piece of the collection is easy to store, which guarantees that it will always be available for bad weather. And the Packaroo products can be customized by having them screen printed, so you can put your stable name on the back and things like that.
And anybody that knows Outback knows that they're a terrific company, and we thank them for sending that off to us as a prize. We really appreciate that. So the winner is going to get that on Friday. Send your ads to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com, put Really Bad Ads in the subject line, and copy and paste the entire ad into the email, pictures and all. Oh, look at that picture you just posted. Jamie just posted a picture on our Facebook page. It's so cute. He's got such a round face.
He's physically perfect, just so you know. It's my baby.
He's baby Luke.
Incredibly impressive looking. Yeah, I posted a pic. This is actually right at the start of our trivia challenge. Lucas came in, and Zinni was sleeping on the couch, and she did what she does when he comes over. She just rolls over on her back and gets, big, submissive, and he loves his dog. He says her name all the time and still hasn't said mama. All of you who said he would say mama on Mother's Day, what a crock. Zinni, kitty, kitty, nothing. No mama, nothing.
All right, we have to get out of here. Thank you, everybody. Take care. Have a terrific day today.
Hey, neuter gals, go ride your ponies.